The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
We're very happy on God Calling today to welcome a real easy guy to talk to, that's for darn sure, Father Bob Steck. Father is pastor at St. Ambrose. And Father, first of all, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Paul.
Our topic, of course, God Calling, is the title. Our topic is vocations. Tell me about yours. Was there always a little seed there? Or?
I'm very blessed. I grew up in Parma, and one of six kids, and just had really wonderful mom and dad, and we were active members of St. Charles. And as I tell the story, Paul, there was nothing like, on one breath, nothing exceptional. I mean, in a wonderful way, my parents raised us kind of like in the ways of the Lord and the ways of a church. So we went to church every Sunday. We were blessed to be able to go to St. Charles Catholic School and then eventually on to Padua. But just living this life of faith was nothing exceptional, but probably that was actually what made it exceptional. So And I think there was always an involvement in the parish. Like, we just finished our parish festival at St. Ambrose, and I told the story, like, my dad was a milk truck driver, and at that time he was going out at 12 o'clock at night. But during the St. Charles Carnival, faithful as faithful could be, he's working the grills from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Jumps in his car and goes off to work. It was just what we did and how we did it. Mm-hmm. So, long story short, there was a moment when I was trying to figure out where to go to college. I was looking at a whole variety of them. Literally, 25 people from St. Charles asked a very simple question, and it wasn't like an orchestrated thing. It was really random. As I look back, it was the working of the Spirit. They said, have you ever thought about going to the seminary? Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about being a priest? Well, honestly, I hadn't. You know, just living this life of faith, being involved in the church is just what we did. It was who we are. It was like how our parents raised us. And in that moment, when 25 people randomly out of nowhere kind of say the same thing, it was enough to at least spark my imagination. Mm-hmm. And so I went to visit Borromeo. I had never been there. I was on my way off to University of Akron, Notre Dame, Loyola, Chicago, looking at all these schools, went to Borromeo, and honestly, it was like a come and see weekend. It was a miserable experience. All the guys had finals, so they were all busy, right? But while I was there, it was just like God said, this is where I need you to be.
Wow. You were the third of six. Other vocations in your family or just?
As the story unfolds, there was a moment, actually, my own brother also went then to the seminary a number of years later. And at this point, wonderful experience at Borromeo, which is really just a house of discernment. And long story short, he discerned that he should go and become a Catholic teacher. And now he's the president of Padua. So all of us trying to live our vocations. And I think really where it gets rooted is always in the home, always with, good families. And my mom and dad, we saw them just kind of integrate faith and family as one. And their faithful yes really just inspired, I think, all my siblings to say yes to the Lord.
You mentioned the importance of things like the festivals and things like that. And certainly you're reflecting that at St. Ambrose. That is a busy, busy parish. I spoke to one of your parishioners and said, the bulletin down there is like a book.
It really is like a book. It's really wonderful. And just a little sociological phenomena. At this point, all by choice, I'm one of six kids. Five of the six of us all come to church together at St. Ambrose every week, along with my nephew and my niece and their kids. And just at the heart of it, and I really believe this was my own upbringing, was the gentle integration of faith and family. And I think that's really, like, even at St. Ambrose, what we're trying to do is trying to create a place where people can come together, find God, find hope, and find the strength to live and create strong family life. I mean,
nobody beat you over the head. There was no saint, no lightning bolt, St. Right. Paul.
I mean, well, and you know, silly as it sounds terrible, and I don't mean this disrespectfully. It was not like we prayed the rosary every night on our knees or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very good thing to do. It was just we prayed before we ate. We went to church. We said our prayers. But mostly, I think my mom and dad always encouraged us to keep open to what God wanted us to do. And they especially taught us always to say yes to mm-hmm. the Lord. And so whether it be my dad working the grills for 5 hours before then he went off to work for 11 hours, right? Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example of serving the Lord, saying yes, and really integrating, weaving together strong faith and strong family. And they're really synonymous.
In parishes today, I do see a lot more of that effort at community. When I was in school, finals came in Catholic school, and we were kind of off for the summer. There was a bazaar for 1 week, maybe in the middle of the summer, but there wasn't nearly as much programming. And I think the catechesis wasn't as good, I think, maybe back then, because a lot of people my age kind of drifted away. And today it seems like, I don't want to say church is more fun. It's not what I mean, but it's more ingrained in some of the younger people.
Right. So I think there's a couple pieces to that. So we all know this, like what we put our eyes on is important, and what we take our eyes off of kind of dangles and languishes. Mm-hmm. So how do we keep God, faith, church, religion, values before ourselves all the time? That's really important. And then I think also, like, how do we create the right experience? So, you know, at St. Ambrose, for example, we have 275 kids that did Vacation Bible School this summer, right? Phenomenal, right? And, you know, along then comes their moms and dads. So here's the festival. Here's the Vacation Bible School. Here are family nights. Here are, you know, in addition to prayer, worship. And again, I think it's really important that we do the spectrum. So how do we encourage people taking time to spend with the Lord in adoration and prayer? So the chapel's open 16 hours a day, right? How do we do the whole compendium, if you will? Because everybody's at a different place. But what we need to do is be a church where we try to keep meeting people where they're at, and in that moment, bringing them to the Lord.
You had a Facebook post, I think it was, maybe a couple of months ago, and I smiled at it because you sent out something to the effect of 10:45 in the morning at St. Ambrose, and then you listed, like, this happened, that happened, this happened. It was unbelievable. There were, like, seven things on the list, and it was 10:45 in the morning.
Right. It was a Saturday morning, right, and just very active. And again, but part of it is everybody has a God-given gift. Everybody has a way to share, participate, engage. And it really is the opportunity. How do we create a community so strong where people feel called by God and compelled to share those God-given gifts and talents and then encouraged and supported in saying that yes? So use the story of my dad working the grills. He loved to cook. That was his gift. That was his talent. And in the moment, he said yes. And how do we create those communities where the diversity of talent, the diversity of interest is encouraged and supported to say yes to the Lord?
It's a very warm parish. I was down there. You were, right. I believe, in the Dominican at that time.
I was.
We were going to do a bonfire, but it rained. But what a warm embrace that I had from the folks down there. It was really a blessing to me to be down there and you know, talk to them about the news. And it was right after I retired.
Right.
Anyway, Father, if you stay right there, this is just a small sliver of the things that you've done, and we could probably do 2 hours here, but we'll be right back on God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. Father Bob Steck is our guest. He's joining us here on God Calling from St. Ambrose Parish, a very, very busy parish, that's for sure. I'm people really engaged from what I've witnessed at a visit down there, but I've done some research. Strength-based leadership. What is that?
I was very blessed when I was the vocation director to actually have the opportunity to work with a wonderful man named Don Clifton. Don Clifton, at the time, he was the chairman of the Gallup organization. So we all know Gallup because, like, they do you like the president? Do you not like the president? Do you like the weather? Don't you know? They do public opinion. What they actually do more is actually study people at their best moment. There's actually a university in Omaha. So long story short, over the years, Don Clifton literally went all over the world studying people at their best moment, out of which he developed this tool called Strength Finders or Clifton Strength. And it's used all over the place. It's used at the Cleveland Clinic. It's used in education. It's used in businesses. Well, he was also a very strong man of faith. And so he created a faith division, nice. same tool, if you will. But he wanted to make it accessible because although he couldn't necessarily say this to like his business clients, he really believes that God has equipped each and every person from the beginning with wonderful tools, strengths, to go and live an extraordinary, exceptional life. He would say that the struggle is that most people don't know what they are or how to best embrace or use them. So long story short, he developed this tool called Clifton Strengths or Living Your Strengths. And over the years, I was starting to use it when I was in the vocation office. What a wonderful tool to kind of help realize that each person is uniquely endowed by God. And over the last 12, 13 years, used it at St. Ambrose. About 1,400 people have participated in it. And it's really just a very helpful tool to help people name what they're naturally best at. And all his research shows that when people simply do what they're naturally best at, they're happier, they're more joyful, they're more energized, they're more effective, and they're more efficient. And so we use it especially in the parish too, because one, it's a good tool. How do you complement each other's strengths? But his point was, and I really believe this, if you just use what you're naturally best at, you're going to be most alive. So I'll give you a silly example. If you talk to anybody at St. Ambrose, they would describe the parish as active, vibrant, dynamic, alive.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
My number one strength is I'm an activator. What do? I make things happen. Mm-hmm. I bring things to life. And so I'm simply doing what I naturally do best by creating a vibrant, helping to shape and stir a vibrant, active community.
Did that help you identify potential candidates when you were in the vocation office that you saw maybe something in them or maybe guided them to a certain sort of leadership?
Right. So what it does best, especially, and they continue to use this in the seminary today, is everybody has a unique way of leading because each of us are uniquely equipped by God. And so to help people lead, serve, share what they're naturally best at, they are most effective, most alive. And so it really, even in terms of ministry and priesthood, the more we help our guys, in this case, in the seminary or as priests, deacons, unleash their God-given potential, they're going to be most fully alive, most fully effective, most vibrant, true for all of us.
Mm-hmm. There's another mission possible, not right. Mission impossible.
Not impossible.
No.
All things possible with God.
Tell me about that. You're building houses and hospitals and right. All kinds of stuff down in the Dominican Republic.
Beautiful story. And it really goes back to what I was sharing before about my mom and dad when I'm at St. Ambrose and I'm just trying to think like, God, what do you need me to do to kind of like help bring this community to a fullness of life? Out of nowhere, Paul, God says, I need you to go do a mission. And it was like nowhere in my DNA, nowhere in my background. So long story short, that's what led us down to the Dominican Republic, where for the last dozen years now, we've been building houses and we've built a school, medical center, community centers. More importantly, even, we've catechized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children. We've really are doing a lot of education and training to really try to lift up and raise up the people that we're serving. So at this point, we have probably, give or take, about 120 houses, give or take about 900 to 1,000 people in the two neighborhoods that we built, and just really trying to teach them English, trying to help them develop job skills, trying to help them develop godly values and strong faith, you know, and even just trying to give them the soft things like financial literacy that will abundantly help them into their future.
How do you find the time? You got a busy parish. You have to fly there. You go down there a couple times a year, I guess.
I do. Outside of the pandemic, but just it's when you do what God asks you to do, God always provides, right? And mm-hmm. And so we're continuing to push forward. And there's a good group of people. It's across the region. We've had people from all over the place join us. We take a couple mission trips, again, outside the pandemic, a couple mission trips every year. I go down a couple extra times just to really try to kind of keep the machine moving. And wonderfully, thank you, God, for technology. I mean, at this point, mm-hmm. as recently as yesterday, I mean, they're calling, questions, needs. You know, it's really beautiful. I mean, it's really just a wonderful moment. I mean, long story short, there was a guy down there that we work closely with, and he was sick in the hospital. So there he is from his hospital bed sending pictures. You can do that, right?
Right.
And asking for prayer and comfort and support.
An article I read, Greater Than Heroin, responding to a problem today. Tell me about that program.
So one of the great blessings to the Fest, which I've done for a little over 20 years now, is it gives us a pretty large platform. And so every year through the Fest, we try to stir up an awareness about a social justice or a social concern. And 6 years ago, again, given the great challenge and the great devastation caused by the heroin opiate crisis, you know, we created this opportunity called Greater Than Heroin. And what we really have worked very hard to do is try to bring all the service providers together in a collaborative way to create a circle of awareness, to try to create visibility about the problem and the resources that are available to help people walk through this great crisis and find help and hope and healing. So through the platform of the FEST, which cuts across the entire region, we've really been able to effectively impact awareness and really offer help and hope and support across our region.
I have so many topics I can talk to you about today, and the FEST being one of them. Stay right there, Father. We'll be right back on God Calling. This is AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski. We'll be right back. I've got some statistics about St. Ambrose Parish. There are 5,200 families there, and these are probably old numbers, 150 different ministries. And a couple of years back, one of the top 12 parishes in North America at creating disciples. That's some accomplishments, Father. Bob Steck joining us.
Yeah, they're really good people. I mean, I can save it over and again. I save it to them all the time. There isn't a day that goes by that I'm not humbled and inspired by their goodness and their efforts to serve the Lord and to grow deeper in their faith. And I think we're working really hard to nurture a strong community where people feel compelled to come together to pray, to worship, and to serve the Lord. And so I think it's one of those moments where the culture kind of keeps reinforcing itself. And so as they give and help and serve and pray and worship, there's just a desire for more people to join us. If you want light, hope, strength, peace.
Yeah. But everybody had a smile on their face. They're having fun doing it.
Right. Very much so.
Not that it's watered down or anything like that. It's just everybody's smiling.
Right.
This is a quote, I believe, from you. You're passionate about seeing the Lord and building a strong community of faith that can bring the light and hope of Christ to our world.
Right. I really say that, you know, and again, I just saw this even the other day. We do Mercy Monday, which it's not that that's exceptional, right? It's a collection to take care of, you know, those in need. So it's a Monday afternoon. I mean, just, Paul, you'd be stunned at the volume of people that drop stuff off so that we can take care of our sisters and brothers and provide for families both in the Brunswick area. And, you know, every month we've been doing an outreach down in Cleveland, taking care of about 300 families in the Thomas Jefferson International Village Newcomer Academy area. So trying to provide and just the outpouring of goodness. And goodness begets goodness. And the more people serve the Lord, there is always the promise of a godly joy.
I saw a talk online that you gave, a full life, the call and the promise of the gospel, kind of twofold the way you delivered that. Tell me about that, Father.
Right, I think it really connects to everything that you're talking about in your show all the time. It's our vocation is to hear the call of the Lord, and it is Christ who is calling us over and again. The more we say yes, the more we open our heart, the more we give and serve and share our life and our gifts and talents with the Lord, the more the Lord leads us to a fuller, more abundant life. It's God's promise, right? I've come so that you might have life and have it to the full, both now and forever. Mm-hmm. So if you want to live a more joyful life, a fuller, more blessed life, then the key to this is, you know, responding to God's call every single day. It's an invitation and it's a promise over and again. And it really is the pattern of the gospel.
I promised we'd get to the FEST. This is one of your pet projects that you really began it 21, was it, years ago?
21 years ago, right.
And it's next week, August 8th, a new location, which is very important to stress to people this year.
Brookside Reservation, which is really just in the heart of the region, heart of the diocese. It's wonderful, and it's a 132-acre campus, so everybody can have space, room to walk around, hear great music. And the FEST really started just 21 years ago when I was at the seminary. It was just like, how do we bring people together, almost like a World Youth Day, but not everybody can go to like Germany or Rome or wherever it was, right? But how do we bring people together to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to inspire one another to live this life of faith? And so the FEST is, you know, in a typical year, we'd bring together about 45,000 people. We're going to limit it this year to 15,000 just because we want to keep everybody comfortable and safe. But it really is a day of faith, family, and fun, and it's really just an opportunity for families to hear the best of the Christian artists Torrin Wells, We Are Messengers, Danny Gokey for King and Country. I mean, it's amazing, amazing artists, along with wonderful displays. Bishop Molesik will join us at 8 o'clock for Mass, which will bring this great family day together in a very prayerful, very reflective way. If you ask anybody who comes to the Fest, they'll tell you that their favorite part is the Mass, right? Mm-hmm. Just to see thousands of people outside, God willing, on a very beautiful day, gentle evening, and just coming together in prayer, standing together as sisters and brothers, coming together at the table of the Lord. It just stirs hope and comfort and God's grace and peace. And so that's the Fest.
And there are sacraments during the day, confessions?
There'll be confession all afternoon, the different location, but we'll still have opportunity for prayer, adoration. The deacons of the diocese wonderfully staff what we call a family blessing booth. You can write your prayer intercessions, and they'll pray with you and ask God's blessing upon you. Wonderful moment to just come together. Many families, many people use this as the highlight of their summer, and really just as a retreat day to come together again, to hear great music, be with wonderful people, but to think deeply about the blessings of God, and especially as we come together this year, the blessings that we're still here, and God calling us to a bright and hopeful future. The theme for the year, every year we pick a theme, and this year it's Take Courage, and we pick that long before we even found a new location. We mm-hmm. said, you know, it's Christ who calls us to take courage, to walk into a bright and hopeful future. That's the prophet Jeremiah. I've come not that you would have woe, but that your future would be full of hope. And so the Fest will be this great day of faith, family, and fun. It will be uplifting and hopeful, and will hopefully inspire all of us to walk into a new pastoral year, the fall season, encouraged, strengthened, and filled with a mindfulness that the Lord is with us. Take courage, Jesus says to us over and again.
I got a feeling that Bishop Molesik, he hasn't seen this the Fest before, right, because it was canceled last year.
Well, the wonderful story is as he was packing to come to Cleveland, last year the whole event was streamed online, and will also be streamed online again this year. He was watching it while he was packing.
No kidding.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
He's going to love it. Now, if people want more information...
The website contains all the best information. That's thefest.us, thefest.us, and you can find out information both for the in-person event, which is on Sunday, August the 8th, starts at 12, Mass kicks in at 8 o'clock in the evening, and you can also on that website, thefest.us, find out about the virtual streamed event that will come to people in the comfort of their home.
Well, Father, speaking of the Fest, AM 1260 The Rock will have a booth there. We invite people to stop by and take a look at what the programming we have to offer, including God Calling here, but many other talented folks, more talented than me, have programs, and it's really inspirational programming. A lot of what you said to maybe move people closer to Jesus Christ. I could talk about Progressive Field and the Mass down there and a lot of different things that you've done. But
that's coming up in September.
What's the date this year?
So I think it's September 25th.
Okay, and there's Mass and a ball game and something like 1,000 people. Catholic Family Day. Look forward to that too. Does that have a website?
It's all on thefest.us.
Perfect. That's the spot. Father Bob Steck, thanks for joining us. See you next week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.